Beginning in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the week of September 10th, 2004, this is the Rain Report. I'm Norm Seeley, KI7UP. Part 1 of this week's program is still online thanks to the underwriting of audio bandwidth by CQ Communications only on rainreport.com. The American Radio Relay League, ARRL, is proposing to petition the FCC to reallocate the HF ham bands via bandwidth rather than merely spectrum. But as Steve Bible, N7HPR, Vice President of Tapper, the Tucson Amateur Packet Radio Corporation, observes, the proposal is still just that, a proposal.
I know that there's a lot of people discussing it. I see it on the news groups, and a lot of people are discussing about how certain modes can be compatible with one another, and also will the proposal handle future needs. There's always new developments happening. The rules for amateur radio has been somewhat limiting. This is my opinion. You would choose to have the rules that kind of give you boundaries and the boundaries not be too constricting.
Well, according to this proposal, it would allow for a 3 kilohertz bandwidth for digital, which to me seems pretty fair.
Well, it could be pretty fair, but again, it's still speculation as to whether it's enough. And there are other modes out there that do take a wider bandwidth. It's really probably a question of efficiency. You don't want somebody taking up a 10 kilohertz bandwidth when 2 will do, for example. But you would still like to have the ability to try and experiment with 10 kilohertz bandwidth if that comes about, just for whatever reason, because it's very difficult to speculate what ham radio is going to look like 10 years from now. Just go back 10 years from today and try to imagine ham radio as it is today and think to yourself, gee, would I have ever predicted that? So that's why I would recommend that the rules not be too restrictive. 2.5 kilohertz, as the proposal is saying, a lot of that is probably predicated on the fact that that's how wide many of our HF radios' IF bandwidths are on single sideband. It's almost something that's self-manufactured just because of what we can buy off the shelf today. But that doesn't necessarily mean what's going to be on the shelf 5 or 10 years from now.
Or when it's home-brewed.
Especially when it's home-brewed, because many of your experimental modes are most times going to be something that is homebrewed or taking an existing radio and modifying it. For example, the 38.4 kilobits per second mode on satellites. There's no off-the-shelf satellite radio that's capable of that. So everybody that wanted to be able to use that mode had to purchase a modification kit to go into their radio and widen that bandwidth. It's very difficult to modify our rules and regulations. It's easy to modify our radios. Again, I would recommend that the rules have boundaries but not be too constricting.
One aspect of the proposed petition calls for unlimited bandwidth on 220 or spread spectrum.
The history of 220 over the past years has been quite interesting, to say the least. Many years ago, hams had 220 and hams lost 220, and then we got it back partially when the spread spectrum rules got changed. They were trying to use 220, but the rules at the time didn't allow it. Now they're coming back and allowing it. It's gone full circle. Again, the difficulty with 220 is the lack of equipment. The truth of the matter is, when you talk about ham radio and new modes or new frequencies, is it invariably comes down to the question of, where do I get that equipment? Where can I buy it? Now, in the case of 220, there's very little equipment that's manufactured for 220. And there's absolutely nothing manufactured for 220 that's spread spectrum. So even if the rules allow it for 220, the question remains, who's going to build it? And then the ultimate question is, who's going to buy it?
Isn't one reason why 220 has been so limited in its appeal and its utilization because it is not a worldwide band?
That's correct. It's not a worldwide band, so there's very little incentive for a worldwide manufacturer to be able to make equipment for that frequency, and also to make it so exotic. Even if spread spectrum were legal in the United States, doesn't mean it's legal anywhere else. There's a bit of a quandary there. If you look at probably all 680,000 licensed hams in the United States, many of them are operators, and very few of them are real tinkerers or engineers. So it still remains to be seen, even though there's a rule for it. If there's no equipment, then that rule might as well be moot.
Then steps in Tapper. Tapper, with its tradition of providing equipment for such niche markets and niche needs.
Well, and that's true. The trouble is, Tapper's not a building full of white lab coat engineers trying to fill voids. Tapper's a community. It's a community of very technical amateurs that, of course, for the love of it, want to build and try things and experiment. So it's a very small facet of the hobby when we talk about experimenters and tinkerers. Now, with that said, if there's an individual that wants to tackle this, then donate it to the community. That's where Tapper steps up and helps that individual produce that device and get it out to the ham community. But it has to come from somebody wanting to do it for the love of it. Tapper's not a company. It doesn't sit down and dream up things to make. It basically makes things that are spontaneous because members decide that that's what they want to do and that's what's interesting for them, and then they pursue it.
That concludes our two-part program featuring Steve Bible, N7, HPR, Vice President of Tapper, the Tucson Amateur Packet Radio Corporation. He talked about the digital state of amateur radio with RAIN founder-producer Hap Holly, KC9RP. You'll find several links of interest to the digital enthusiast on RAIN's Sites Mentioned page on RAINReport.com. The RAIN Report is copyright 2004. RAIN, all rights reserved. I'm Norm Seeley, KI7UP.